Ladies and gentlemen, Texans and Tejanos, you are tuned to the show that talks the talk and walks the walk. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without the management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, Lieutenant Governor Patrick announces his re-election bid, and a freshman House member, the only freshman member of the Freedom Caucus, supposed to be one of the big conservatives, tells his local paper in Brazoria that Patrick needs to go. He can't support him. Why? Well, it seems like he made the mistake of believing his House leadership in their made-for-the-press pronouncements, my friends. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by AlliedCompliance.com. Are you hiring? Well, check for safety with drug testing from Allied Compliance Services. Much other political news to get to in the stack, and, well, more from the border. This is finally becoming the dominant story, and it's leaking into the old leftist legacy press, too. Little by little, you see more and more suggestions, particularly after Kamala Harris's disastrous trip to Central America. You see more and more allusions to Biden's awful decisions and the resulting human disaster. And so we'll get to that in more border-related news, my friends. Be sure to remember you can listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. Sadly, it doesn't come with the great Texas music, and to me, it really loses something that. But I have gotten so many comments from others saying, oh, we love the podcast. Oh, I like it better. And so there you go. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. And one of the things that makes that a great day is when we know that people are standing up to do God's will, not man's will. And the city of Levelland, I think, made official their pro-life ordinance there. We had already covered that when they voted that the first time. But the city of Sundown, just down the road, 1,397 Roughnecks in Sundown. That's right, that's their mascot, the Roughnecks. City of Sundown has voted on an enforceable, they voted for an enforceable ordinance outlawing abortion within their city limits. Story by the pastor behind so much of this work on God's behalf, doing God's will, Mark Lee Dixon. That story in the Texas Scorecard. Congratulations, Sundown, becoming the 31st city in the nation to outlaw abortion. That is wonderful, my friends, wonderful. Now, our Abilene affiliate, Q Country 96.1, has put together a big event. Some of the listeners of the show and others in town wanted to do this and started talking, emailing me way back in February wanting to do something. And David Clement at Q Country 96.1 FM wants to make this a big annual, you know, around 4th of July, big thing for liberty and pro-America type thing. And we're going to kick it off this year. It's called Standing Strong, A Celebration of Liberty. I sent the details and links out to the Listener Club yesterday evening. You can join the Listener Club. That's how you get the inside track on this stuff. It's free to do. I don't give you information or email out to anybody else. Just join at PrattOnTexas.com. If you weren't in there, you'll find the link there at the top of my page. It says Standing Strong, A Celebration of Liberty. You can find a link to tickets. It'll be Wednesday, June 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. I mean, there's going to be music. You got it. I'm going to give a big keynote address. I've been asked to speak specifically about what we can do and how our involvement can help change our country and save our country. And I have to dig deep for that. I mean, we're all concerned. You know, as it said in the promotion material, our quest for liberty spans the ages. And in America's Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, the people were finally made sovereign. And many recognized it as the greatest achievement for human liberty in all of history. But as I point out, history repeats, and now our liberty is under serious threat. I mean, truly serious, deep, fundamental threat. The entire view now openly held in the open by the left is that human beings are not sovereign. They don't deserve liberty. They need to be told what to think and what to do. And if they don't think and do what their masters tell them, they should be punished, lose their jobs, not be eligible for employment. All kinds of things even worse than that. You know, we've had academics and people talk about putting us in concentration camps, in the re-education camps, like the Chinese communists do. Well, I've been invited to be the featured speaker and challenge you to be more involved and obtain hope through action, and I'm collecting examples, recent ones, of how this really works in our communities and how it can work. It's a one-night-only patriotic event, includes music and dinner from our longest-term sponsor in Abilene, Bell's Chicken Dinner House. That's right, they're going to cater it. And much more, it's at the beautiful event center at Denton Valley Farms, and I was told by our host that they might have tree-ripened peaches ready by that time. And, of course, you folks in the area know all about Denton Valley Farms and their store and all that, and the farms and their facilities. It's fantastic. Just outside of Abilene, just out from the airport direction southeast, just a little bit out there. Tickets are $20 plus the fee from the ticket deal, Eventbrite or whatever. You can find tickets at eventbrite.com. If you'll just go to my website or the Q Country 96.1 website, you'll find a link to that. It is a ticketed event because it's catered and has to be set up. We're at a big place, so we've got plenty of room, but we've got to have the count and all that stuff done in advance due to the fact it has to be catered out there. So you can go find out all about it. Go to the Q Country website or go to prideontexas.com, and I hope you'll join us. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. For me, it's going to be a lot of work, but I'm looking forward to it. Believe me, I truly am. Another big media lie about Trump's been disproved. Did you see the Inspector General report? Are they running this as the top story in the mainstream people? I don't know, because I don't look at the liberal legacy media. Police did not disperse protesters so Trump could hold a photo op. That's right. The report from the Interior Department's Inspector General concluded the protesters were cleared by U.S. Park Police last June 1st so a contractor could get started installing a new fence. Park police officials had already planned to clear the area and, quote, had begun implementing the operational plan several hours before they knew of a potential presidential visit to the park, says the inspector general. We determined that the evidence did not support a finding that the U.S. Park police cleared the park on June 1st, 2020, so President Trump could enter the park. In other words, so he could have that photo op in front of the church that the leftists tried to burn down. Trump said, thank you to the Department of Interior Inspector General for completely and totally exonerating me in the clearing of Lafayette Park. And that's right. And yet they led with these stories over and over and over that he violated our right to expression, tear gas, protesters, got rid of protesters so he could have a photo op. Totally untrue. One of our listeners, TM, writes after I was talking about the gun bills passed, he said, one of the arguments I hear from the gun control proponents is how law enforcement's against citizens' ability to carry firearms and that it will somehow change the dynamics of how a law enforcement officer will do their job. Maybe I'm in the minority of mindset, but having been a police officer in Fort Worth for 8 years, I can tell you that an officer approaches, or better approach, each scene with the assumption that everyone is armed until it can be proved otherwise. Additionally, I've always felt that the fear in criminals' mind that citizens might be armed is the only deterrent in that criminal's mind before committing a crime against a person. The revolving door justice system we have is not only not a deterrent, but it's a joke in the mind of many criminals. Some of them like the thought that being incarcerated should be able to rehabilitate someone. Yeah, but criminals in penitentiaries have it better on the inside than they do on the outside for some. And for some, that's probably really true. So what's the fear of going back to jail? So that's just my two cents. Thanks for what you do, Tim. Tim, thanks for the comments. You can send your emails. It's easy. If you join the Listener Club, you get a direct-to-me email address for which there are no filters. Or you can always use the contact page or public address following the instructions at prideontexas.com. Again, get over there. You'll find the link there. It says Standing Strong, a Celebration of Victory, Abilene. Wednesday, 30 June, 2021, 6 to 9 p.m. at Denton Valley Farms, just outside Abilene, with Q Country 96.1 FM. Back in a moment.
Become a member of the family. Join the Pride on Texas Listener Club free at prideontexas.com. Members get a direct to Pratt email address.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Why do the tax and spenders, city hall tyrants, and courthouse kings want him off the air? Listen a while, and you'll know. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Pratt on Texas. I saw that the city of Abilene indeed intends to go forward with issuing CO bonds for $23.6 million. That means where your property taxes could have come down as other debt was paid off, they'll stay up. All to fix some streets, says the because the bonds are certificates of obligation, no voter approval is needed. In other words, they don't want you to have a right to vote on it. Reports KRBC in this story all about it. Just reminding you, you voted for a fee dedicated to street maintenance. Other cities don't have that. They collect revenue the same way Abilene does. Where does all the money go? Why do we have to take out CO bonds, which are meant for more emergency items? What happened to this big revenue stream of everybody having to pay the fee to fix the streets? See, even a good idea, folks, and people voted for it. Well, we'll finally get our streets fixed. Really? It looks to me like you're just paying double fees now for the same performance. By the way, a listener is concerned about something happening in the city of Tye, saying that, you know, they have a half-cent sales tax for economic development, but now apparently they're not doing, he claims they're not doing any economic development, and they're trying to move the city hall into the business incubator, which was built and paid for with the half-cent monies for economic development. I don't know if that's legal or not. It wouldn't be legal to build a city hall with that money. If you build it, and I don't know, if it closes down, you quit or whatever. I don't know, but that's something for folks in Tye to really look into, because there are legal strictures on what you can use that money for, and it's supposed to be for economic development, not providing yourself a new city hall. All right, my friends, today in Texas history... Texas History sponsored by USA Investigations. Professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements and more. And do background checks on folks too. Investigate for more at... See, I get clever. Investigate for more with USAinvestigations.net. And all it does is to tie me up. Investigate for more at USAinvestigations.net. Today in Texas history, in 1905, Willie Lewis was born in Cleburne. He was a jazz clarinetist and became the first black expatriate jazz band leader in Europe. You know, jazz just took France and Europe by storm. It's truly a unique American music form, and he was the first of these Americans that went over and became a band leader who happened to be black. This is also the day, June 10th in 1821, that the father of Texas, the guy who put the deal together, Moses Austin died. He died in Missouri. If you don't know the history of Moses Austin, I mean, you talk about the, it's like a Texas wildcatter. Rags to riches to rags to riches to rags to riches. What a story this guy was. Well known all over the United States. It was his deathbed request that his son Stephen F. Austin take over the colonization scheme that, of course, ended up leading to Texas. Also on this day in 1832, well before the Revolution, a rebel force attacked Anahuac in the first armed clash between Anglo-Texans and Mexican troops. That, of course, over in East Texas. You got the earliest real towns were closer over that. Bear was old and where San Antonio is, but it was tiny. The big towns were over in the Piney Woods and stuff closer to Louisiana and Nacogdoches, that area. So anyway, that's our Today in Texas History, sponsored by USA Investigations. Investigate for more at USAinvestigations.net. See, I can say it. All right, let's move on. We've got a ton of political news to get to today on the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Folks, in Senate District 24, it just seems like yesterday that you went through a bruising battle to elect a real conservative and good state senator, one of the most powerful positions in the state, a state senator. And now that Senator Don Buckingham, your senator, has announced she's going to seek other office, a land commissioner, You've got that seat going to be open. And Ellen Troxclair, now I know her name well, but a lot of you don't. She has announced she's going to run for it. And she's the lone conservative right now in the Austin City Council. Well, she was, and she she's been, I mean, she's taken the fight to the leftist. I'm not sure how incredibly conservative she is, because even a moderate there would look like a strong conservative, and it does take some looking. But she's got a pretty good record from what I know. She voted to lower property taxes by passing landmark homestead exemption. She's fought the radical leftists there in funding Planned Parenthood. She's exposed a lot of frivolous government spending and stuff in Austin. She says she'll fight to secure the border, protect the integrity of elections, preserve the Second Amendment, protect unborn life. She's a small business owner, a mother, and family woman. She's pretty impressive. She's actually quite good looking, too. But here's the question. Will it be Senate District 24? You know, we got to do redistricting. So all Senate seats come up on the next cycle. And this isn't going to happen till late fall. What always happens is you end up with people redistricted out. They don't live in the district and they're not anywhere near it. Sometimes these have to move significantly. And with all the growth in Austin, that's a real risk. And I guess Troxclair knows it. The one thing about Senator Buckingham, I was asking the other day, why would she not want to run? It is possible that some of the redistricting experts, because even though we don't have the data, they're all working on this stuff in the models. It's possible she knows her district's going to be chopped up and she's not going to be in it anymore. I wonder if Troxclair knows any of that stuff too. It's just something to ponder, because the lines will change. Dan Patrick, our lieutenant governor, a big voice for conservatism, not an apologist for conservatism, has announced he will run for re-election as lieutenant governor in 2022, this next time. And what's interesting about this story is that in the Brazoria County newspaper, The Facts, that's what it's called, The Facts, whether it is or not, who knows, out of Angleton. Here's the story. Coming off an end to his first Texas legislative session, State Rep. Cody Vassett, he has a gripe that's not unusual, and it's with the way business is run in the other chamber. Quote, I frankly think we need new leadership in the Texas Senate, he told Lake Jackson Business Association luncheon Wednesday. I do not support Dan Patrick for re-election. I think he needs to go. I think we need somebody else in there, somebody who actually committed to being a productive member. Let me tell you this, your Texas House passed 75% of the Senate bills that came over, and your Texas Senate passed less than half the House bills that came over. Well, you're saying, oh, it's just another one of these rhinos. No, no, he's the only freshman member of the Conservative Freedom Caucus. Michael Quinn Sullivan, I guess, thought this was important enough for him to personally write about it, the Texas scorecard. Freedom Caucus member wants Dan Patrick out of office. And, he Vassut's out passing that press stuff that is one of the people who has to write that stuff recently called it to me, I won't use the explicit language, but baking BS muffins, you know, having to sit in the office and bake BS muffins. This guy's making a big mistake of believing his own leadership, because he's wrong. You know, Sherry Sylvester, who's Patrick's communication advisor, been with Patrick a long time, says, look, the House sent 1,261 bills to the Senate. Nearly half of those did not arrive until the last 10 days of the session. And there was time for them to be heard in committee. See, this is the point. Yeah, they got these big numbers, but everything is because the House didn't get to business early. They left everything to the last minute. So nearly half of them didn't arrive till the last 10 days. A third of them, 452, did not have a Senate sponsor. Of the 809 bills that had sponsors, the Senate passed 608, or 75% of the ones that had a Senate sponsor. Senate sent 672 bills to the House. Every one of them had a House sponsor. The House passed 503 of those bills, or 74%. Vassut's tirade, it reads, against Patrick in the Senate came after he was asked about the House failure to pass Senate Bill 7, the marquee election integrity bill, and he went and tried to blame the Senate. Sylvester said the House didn't appear to want to pass a great deal of conservative legislation, even when it had the support of the overwhelming majority of Republicans, like taxpayer-funded lobbying ban, social media censorship, and the ban on transgender sports. She's right. And this kid made a real mistake. And then they go on talking about how the members supported Jeff Leach when he did his temper tantrum, where they shut down for 3 days in those last 10 in the House. Suits made a huge mistake, and that's believing his own leadership, not knowing that stuff was for the dummies. Back in a moment.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Miss part of the show? The Texas Hour with Pratt on Texas is podcast and shows post at 6 p.m. Central. Just visit prattontexas.com. Now, back to news and commentary of Texas with Robert Pratt.
Little hot in the Harris County Democratic Party because, you know, they say Republicans are the bigots, but we keep getting stories like this from within the Democratic Party. Houston Chronicle reports a Harris County Democratic Party precinct chair, somebody very involved, has resigned after sending an email to party members in which he condemned two party chairman candidates over their Nigerian descent. In the email, former precinct chair John Berman, Democrat, referred to Otis Evbogaru and Charles Onwuche, both of whom are running to succeed the outgoing Harris County chairman Lily Schechter, as little Nigerians, and suggested that one of them may be a GOP plant. Having gained solid majorities in municipal and county government, I am surprised that Democrats in Harris County are toying with the extinction of their own party, turning over to Lily Schechter's Nigerians. That was the quote. Berman wrote, adding that he found it disturbing that not surprising that Lily Schechter is delivering two Nigerian immigrants as her successors. Schechter's been a party precinct chair there and active since March of 2017. He's now stepping down. So all the bigots are Republicans? That just sounded like complete and total bigotry. I mean, just the type where people like that think everybody else thinks that way. Typical. Outgoing Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price. You know, she finally gives up the mayor position in Fort Worth. And shockingly then, says she's going to now run for Tarrant County Judge. Now, I know enough about how things work there and what the Bass Brothers do and all of that to realize that this has got to be an inside deal, that this was the plan. She just waited until that worthless so-called Republican, the current county judge there, Whitley, announced, you know, on Tuesday he wouldn't seek re-election. So she's been 10 years the city's longest tenured mayor, and now she used to be tax assessor collector in Tarrant County. Betsy Price ran as a conservative, started out really well, and then went the way so many of them did. I think their property tax burdens increased 46% or something like that. And the Dallas Morning News tells you that she's going to run and that she's going to be run against Tim O'Hare, former mayor of Farmers Branch and founder of South Lake Families PAC. And then, of course, they print that she has the backing of Whitley. Well, that ought to disqualify her right then, the way he handled. He was one of the worst tyrants in the state over the pandemic. Worse than a lot of Democrats. And she's got the Arlington mayor, Jeff Williams, one of the biggest spenders and backers of putting citizens in debt in the state. North Richland Hills mayor and former Southlake mayors. But the Dallas Morning News didn't tell you the kind of support that Tim O'Hare has. Well, the Texan did. Tim O'Hare, who served as Tarrant County Republican Party chairman and Farmers Branch mayor, announced his candidacy for judge in May. He's garnered many local endorsements, including Sheriff Bill Wayburn, Congressman Michael Burgess, and Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, and several state legislators. This is going to be a bruising race, but it appears to me this was a setup all along between the Bass Brother rich guys or whomever is pulling the strings right now in Tarrant County and Fort Worth. It's always been them. And to keep their crowd in there. And Betsy Price started out great. She turned into a great disappointment the more time she spent in office, which is often the case. The ultra left-wing filth, they write with filthy mouth things. I mean, the worst kind of vulgarity appears in all their stories. At the big alternative paper in San Antonio, the San Antonio Current, which it's alternative to, you know, liberals, and then you have the potty mouth liberals. But they've got a big piece. A new ad, Texas Attorney General candidate George P. Bush name checks Trump, but not his own family. Talks about, hey, doesn't mention his own lineage and all that, just talks about his allegiance to Trump. Of course, this is driving these people crazy because they have complete and total Trump derangement syndrome. They go into some details in here. Can't read from it because they use such nasty language. But I love this line. Bush trots out now familiar AM talk radio talking points about a liberal mob. I'm on FM. Both markets were back up in. Anyway, about a liberal mob and a crisis at the border and draining the swamp. It's funny to read them. I mean, I'm not a backer. That's one of those I'll say right now. I'm not a backer of P. Bush. You know it. I think he's utterly incompetent. He's got a big name. He's good looking, but he's not done a good job at pretty much anything he's done. And he darn sure doesn't need to be Attorney General of the great state of Texas. But good grief, it's funny to read these leftists. How about this? Eric Linderham telling us in American Greatness today, Joe Biden's proposed budget for the year 2022 was found to contain anti-scientific language. That's right, because the left believes in science, right? That eliminates the concept of gender, or he should say sex, from the act of childbirth, according to the Washington Free Beacon. The budget plan, which is a record-breaking $6 trillion, dedicates over $200 million in healthcare spending for the, quote, high rate of maternal mortality and race-based disparities in outcomes among birthing people. That's right. They got rid of the word mother. This is what they're all about. They said they were going to do this. No word mother in there. It calls them birthing people. Because, you know, in their stupid, mixed up, completely devil taken over minds with deception, the father of all lies, they actually think men can give birth and all that stuff now because you can just choose your sex. Oh, and not to say you can choose what you identify as anything. You want to identify as a goat, you can be a goat. You want to say you're a tree, you can be a tree. And everybody is supposed to respect that and use the appropriate pronouns. Of course, the funniest ones, they're always going out there using the pronoun they. They is plural. It doesn't apply to a singular person, period. I don't care what you identify as. They is plural. And when I see people using this, it's a sign of utter stupidity and ignorance all the way across the board, and it doesn't mean you're some kind of a supporter of somebody's rights. It's you're miscommunicating. You're saying plural when you're referring to one. Or maybe there's a reason they've all picked up they as one of their favored pronouns. You know what it may be? Well, I figure if you're a man, but you really think you're a woman, maybe there's a little schizophrenia going on there and there are multiple personalities there. So maybe they is the right thing. Maybe all these messed up people really are multiple. Well, maybe they're counting the demons that have entered them. And we can joke about that, but they wouldn't believe it. That's a serious, serious, true and sad thing and something to be very concerned about. All right, so let's get on to the next part of the stack here, my friends, on Pratt on Texas. There was a big story in the Houston Chronicle, all the Hearst papers. Lawmakers moved to create Texas CDC to prepare for the next pandemic. I don't like it at all. And my state reps, and quoted in here, is talking about it. He says, Burroughs says that, who co-sponsored the bill creating the Institute, said one of its strongest selling points was that much of what the Institute will be doing has already been put in place during the pandemic. Quote, we're not going to have to create anything new from scratch. We're taking what's already being done, and we're just making sure it's better coordinated. Well, yeah. And you know what it really is? It's the payoff for the big, fancy job that Dr. Zerwas, who was a state rep and a rhino, got when he left the legislature last year, whenever it was he resigned, and got the big vice chancellorship job with the University of Texas. So now he goes down there and he gets the House to throw a huge amount of money, I think $200 million or something. It's federal money for a while, and then it'll be $30 to $20 million, I think the story said. Yeah, $30 million annually, then $20 million annually out of the state budget. Yeah, he won that big high-paying job. This is what happens with a lot of these guys. And because it's going to be based at the University of Texas Health Sciences Center at Houston. Do you know what they're teaching down there, representatives? They're teaching In the University of Texas medical school system, they're teaching the critical race theory stuff as a core curriculum now. That's right. They say this is modeled on a National Guard model to have a whole bunch of people in reserve for when we have the next pandemic. Let me tell you what that means. That means you got a bunch of people sitting around for a long time figuring out how to take your liberty away from you the next time something happens, and you'll have even more people jumping out into the fray to take your liberty and close your business.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Migrant arrests at Southwest border jumped 700% over May of 2020. That's right. Border Patrol says that 700% increase. They've apprehended more than 172,000 migrants in the U.S.-Mexico boundary. That's just the ones they catch. Border Patrol agents arrested, I just gave you that number, 172,011 people. This is up from only 21,593 during the same month a year ago. Almost a 700% increase. Says Texas, Border Patrol sectors in Texas bore the brunt of the illegal migrant apprehensions, meaning we're all paying the price. Believe me, in every part of your taxes you can imagine, we're paying the price, as well as the other problems that come with it. Now, Abbott's holding that summit this afternoon in Del Rio because they've been hit the hardest. You want to show how brazen these people are and how they don't even think this country matters at all? This KVEO reporting out of the Rio Grande Valley. Border Patrol agents seized nearly 1,000 pounds of marijuana on two operations on Tuesday, including more than 500 pounds on a pickup truck that was put on a raft and rafted across the Rio Grande. Now, you think these people don't realize that we're a complete and total Keystone Cop cluster bleep here in this country when it comes to the border without that wall? Good, they put a pickup on a raft and rafted it over. Yeah, they got caught, but they wouldn't do it if they hadn't been doing this stuff other times and getting it through. More on the Haitian migrants. You know, I read you the big piece how they're all being piled up in Del Rio. Tons of people from Haiti. And Del Rio's a small place. I've been there many times. I have a good friend, owns car dealerships there, lives there, made it his home. He loves it. This is a new piece by Breitbart, Texas, Randy Clark. Haitian migrants apprehended locally are now being transported to nearby Eagle Pass for release, folks. This is because it started getting a lot of media attention. It's a source in the Border Patrol. Source says Haitian migrants now being moved to a local non-governmental shelter to limit visibility and public scrutiny in Del Rio. Shelter provides a privacy-screened outdoor rec area, and most migrants rarely exit until they board transportation. And rather than waiting for inland transportation in Del Rio, the mostly Haitian migrants are now being placed in a repurposed yellow school bus. They couldn't figure out who the owner was. There are no noticeable Texas Department of Transportation identifiers on the vehicle, so it may not even be licensed. They talk to others who do a lot of this stuff down in Del Rio for the government, and they're mad because they're licensed and go through all the hoops. They don't know who this is either. This is one of these down on the QT because all of a sudden this massive influx of Haitians has appeared all over the country's media in the last few days, and I talked to you about it yesterday. Speaking of buses, in central Mexico, in Tlaxcala, that's just the state east of Mexico City, the free and independent state of Tlaxcala, I think's its name, but anyway, just east of Mexico City, these really nice passenger buses that go around Mexico, I mean, you get on those, go anywhere, they're really nice. The human smugglers simply stole a passenger bus and loaded it up with people from Brazil, Haiti, Chile, and Honduras. 57 on them on there. Mexico's National Guard got them, said 16 of the migrants were minors, were underage. Oh, boy. It just never stops. Border protesters in El Paso. Now, these are the pro-illegal immigration people, but they want the emergency intake shelter for children closed that's out at Fort Bliss because they say it's lice infested and a lot of other stuff and diseases. Well, I'm sorry. That's part of the point. That's what you're going to get. It's not that these people are inherently nasty or dirty people. It's the situation they've left and how they've gotten here and the way they've been cooped up together. This is another reason why we used to have orderly, legal immigration into the country. There's a really big piece by John Daniel Davidson. I wish I had time to read you the whole piece. It's at The Federalist. I recommend you go look at it. Here's the headline. This is what I'm telling you about this final. This is starting. Now, they are on the conservative side, but these stories are leaking out everywhere. They get downplayed a little bit, but they're everywhere. This is a major piece. It prints out to 4 or 5 pages. On a remote stretch of Texas borderland, the whole world is crossing the Rio Grande. And this is what I told you about yesterday, Dateline Del Rio. It begins, something strange is happening here in remote Valverde County. The whole world is showing up. In recent months, migrants from far-flung places like Haiti, Venezuela, Africa, which of course is a continent, not a country, and even Uzbekistan have appeared on the Mexican side of the Rio Grande and waded across. Their numbers include families with small children, pregnant women, and the elderly. Not all of them make it. Sheriff Joe Frank Martinez said he and his deputies have seen 9 drownings in the county since January, already double last year's total. The first one was on January 17th, a 33-year-old woman from Haiti. She was pregnant with twins at term, so we're counting all 3. And these liberals and these church people, these prelates tell us this open border crap is compassionate. This is not compassionate. He said, they say in this story, nothing like this has ever happened before. In years past, a modest number of Mexicans might have crossed from the town of Acuña across the river from Del Rio, but those were mostly men seeking work, often on the ranches that dominate the area. Out on those ranch lands, a completely different demographic of migrants is crossing in near record numbers. Groups of single adults, mostly men, sometimes clad in camouflage and determined to evade law enforcement. They're leaving behind cut fences, smashed gates, burned down barns, and burglarized houses. And it doesn't end when they get picked up by smugglers on the U.S. side. High-speed car chases have become commonplace here, said Sheriff Martinez, with 9 fatalities so far this year. Folks, there's only about 50,000 people in Del Rio. I think the whole county may be 60,000. And this thing goes into tremendous detail. The sheriff, a self-described proud Democrat, which is kind of odd, doesn't hesitate to blame the crisis in his county on the Biden administration. Quote, these numbers are up because people knew they were going to be allowed in. If this administration says we want to welcome you, well, they're going to come. This piece goes into so much interesting detail. In fact, they talked to Rabbi Manny Rodriguez, a retired Border Patrol officer and chaplain in the Border Patrol. He said it never used to be this way. He said every week now, he said groups of hundreds of migrants are dropped off at the bus station, some with nowhere to go and no way to leave town. But you know what else was interesting in this? We're all told these are just poor people. This story goes into locals talking about Tiffany Burrow with the Valverde Border Humanitarian Coalition, which a bunch of pastors founded back in 2019, said they've never seen numbers like this. She says that, they're there, but she said they can't house people overnight because they're not licensed to, but that most of the families can afford to buy plane or bus tickets or stay in hotels until they secure travel out of Del Rio. Quote, these families are not necessarily poor. Now, you see, and she's with one of these compassionate coalitions. You don't hear this, but what's happening is this is leaking out. Kamala Harris says it would be a waste, nothing but a grandstand, a grand gesture to go visit the border. She goes down there, and the president in South America, one of the countries she goes to, says this is your administration's fault, period. It's not climate change and stuff like that that you're saying. Folks, this story at The Federalist is fantastic. It really gives you a summation of what's going on, and they point out But Del Rio sector, kind of being out in the scrub brush and farther from cities, and there's not much transportation once you get into Del Rio. You know, one commercial air flight a day, and that's the Rio Grande Valley and El Paso have always seen big numbers. But it's so bad now, those places are seeing waves of people, and now places like Del Rio, and remember, we gave you the story out of what used to be called the Marfa sector, which is the Big Bend sector. I mean, you're talking rough desert country, is seeing record crossings. That's how bad it is. Even out in the middle of so-called nowhere, which, of course, people in New York and L.A. think is the entire state of Texas, but good, we don't want them coming here. People are pouring across the border, and it's not just the old guys going to work on a roofing crew or on a farm. This is serious stuff, and we got to deal with it. We'll see what the governor comes up with in his border conference today. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.